Until one has loved an animal, a part of one's soul remains unawakened. Anatoly France.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. Sometimes on our podcast, we will take a live interview that is done for our private Essential Oils Insiders group and share some of that interview here on the podcast. Today is one of those days. We interview Sherry Losby, who's the author of Essential Oils for You and Your Pet. As with all of our insiders meetups, we interviewed Sherry for the first half, and then we opened up the floor for questions and answers. And we had so much fun. Actually, we had people show their pets on the video camera and really go in depth into what their pets need. If you want to check out our insiders program, go to revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders. Before we get to the interview with Sherry Losby, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's recipe comes from Mary Beth Hodgins, and it's called the Tail No Tail Bathroom Spray. Love it. To make the Tail No Tail Bathroom Spray, in a 2-ounce glass spray bottle, combine 20 drops eucalyptus essential oil, 20 drops grapefruit essential oil, 10 drops lime essential oil, 10 drops lemon essential oil, and 10 drops orange essential oil. Top with distilled water, shake, and spray to rid bathroom of unwanted telltale odors. Thank you so much, Mary Beth, for your recipe. You can find more about Mary Beth Hodgins at her website, nurturingessences.com. And you can submit your recipe to our DIY dugout at diy@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not-so-happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
So welcome, Sherry, and thank you so much for being here with us today. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. I'm honored to be here again and to be a voice for the pet community.
What led you to become such an advocate for essential oils and pets?
Well, like you mentioned already, it all started with my own health crisis in 2010. One evening, I was getting ready for bed, brushing my teeth, washing my face, and as I was moisturizing my neck, I found a lump, and it turned out to be thyroid cancer.
Wow.
And I didn't listen to my gut, and I opted for surgery. And a few weeks after that, I discovered the Gerson therapy, which is an organic food and detox therapy with tons of juicing, like carrot and apple juice. Like 8 ounces on the hour, every hour for 8 hours a day.
Wow.
And I embarked on that protocol for a year without fail because my quality and quantity of life depended on it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it was a little intense at times. The lifestyle shift happened fast and hard for us because I quickly realized that the environmental factors and my chemical-filled lifestyle contributed to the cancer growth. It doesn't run in my family. And there I was in my early 30s with quite the problem.
Right.
So as I learned how to work with the plant food that was healing my body, I took a look at what I was feeding our two pugs, Gus and Bobby, and I realized it could be a lot better. They both were about 3 years old at the time and having chronic allergies and skin issues that I just didn't really know what to do for. So I switched their food from kibble to fresh raw meat. And you guys, their issues mostly went away.
Wow.
So after about a year on the Gerson therapy for me and the raw meat feeding for the pugs, like I was just so geeked out over all this great stuff I was learning and how great we all were feeling that I needed to teach people about this. So we opened a natural pet food store in 2011, which we later sold in 2016. But I worked the store 6 days a week with Gus, and we helped thousands of pet people understand really the importance of rotational feeding fresher foods to give their pets better energy, better skin and coat health, better poop, and overall better health and longevity. And yes, poop was my favorite topic. It was oftentimes my opener question to people and really was certainly an icebreaker to anyone new referred by their neighbor.
Just, hey, how's your pet pooping?
Yeah. Yeah. So changing lives with quality information is what I became known for. And it wasn't really just the awesome pet food items that I stocked, but it was how I showed people that they actually have lots of choices with feeding their pets and that feeding them one brand of dry food their whole life is old thinking.
Yeah.
I was also rotational feeding Gus and discovered he had bad allergies to certain proteins. So like venison, lamb, chicken, pheasant, and pork all made him break out in hives.
Oh, wow.
Full body hives. And it would last for 3 days. He'd be completely miserable. He would race around the house and beat up dog beds and let out guttural sounds that I had never heard before and throw himself into snowbanks for relief.
Wow.
It was really hard to watch. And at the time, I would squirt children's liquid antihistamine into his mouth, and he hated it. And I hated the ingredients. So my store stocked all kinds of powdered mushrooms and herbal supplements, and Gus got always the immune system support items, but they didn't really work as well as I wanted them to, or how I thought maybe he needed them to, but I didn't know what else existed. So about 2 years in, I then realized that even though I stocked the best pet foods, I was also stocking shampoo, wipes, and carpet cleaners that had shady ingredients in it, chemicals, fragrances, all of that stuff. And so I stocked the least worst products I could find, but I still didn't feel good about it. Selling someone some awesome raw organic food and some chemical laden shampoo in the same transaction.
Oh, yeah.
No. It was like eating me alive.
That just reminds me of something I was working on the other day. And it was such a reminder about the, when you look at the world of regulations, right? The entities that exist, that their purpose is to regulate what's allowed to go into our food, our water, our cosmetics, and things like that. When you look at that world categorically, food is pretty highly regulated compared to cosmetics. When you look at cosmetics, which shampoos, soaps, you know, all those things fall under that category of cosmetics, there's such little regulation going on that it allows for so many chemicals to go into those products, and they don't always have to be disclosed on the labels. And even if they are disclosed on the labels, consumers can sometimes make the assumption that, well, if it's being sold to me in a store, someone's making sure that this is relatively safe, right? And really, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same way in the pet industry. I mean, I've been out of it for a few years now, so maybe some things have gotten better in that respect, but I don't know. I don't keep up with it. I've got my solution, right?
Yeah. So is that how essential oils kind of came in, is trying to find alternatives to those store-bought products?
Yes. And it was this one time I went to a holistic veterinarian with Gus. I'm like, Pug is kind of a mess. Help me figure it out. I told her of like my concerns with all the products in the store, and of course, you know, Gus's food allergies and stuff. And she just looked at me and she's like, Sherry, you got to get with Pet Safe Essential Oils. They will solve all of that for you. And she like pulled a few out of her scrub pockets and opened them for us, let us smell them and showed us how to use them. And like, it was easy. It just was so simple, simplified, yeah. Right? It was like one ingredient. You didn't have to read like 10 ingredients on the bottle, you know? And the fact that like most of them are antibacterial and antifungal, antiseptic, I was like, oh, okay. It's like the light bulb started going off.
Yeah.
So I immediately got a starter kit and a pet reference guide, which is very important, because otherwise I'd have been calling her every day. Like, wait, what do I do now? What do I do? So she was really like helping empower me to figure it out. And I did. So I saw a positive difference in Gus's skin, his immunity, and his energy level within, you know, a few months. And I knew that we made the right lifestyle choice.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, a good reference guide is very important to own, because every pet is unique and each pet owner is going to have their own journey and questions that they'll need answers for. But if you don't mind, walk us through just a few examples and a few aha moments that you had early on with Gus using oils and how you incorporated them and what results were you getting?
Well, with Gus, it was simple that, you know, when he was having some skin issues, that I could simply cleanse his skin with some lavender oil and some carrier oil, or even, you know, even add a little bit of like distilled water in there and make it a spritzer for his skin. So there were times, especially between baths, and this was a common question I got, is how do I keep my pets like dander and yeast and whatever under control in between baths? And it's like, you just spray them with this and you rub it in. And that's all I was doing for Gus. And I mean, between the food and the topical application of those spritzers, like he stopped licking his paws incessantly and he just like, he calmed down. And it was incredible.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of physical benefits that come along with using essential oils with pets, and then also emotional ones as well. So maybe we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's back up and give just a little groundwork here for people who are totally new to using oils with pets. What are some of those basic ways that you use it and incorporate that into a pet's kind of daily health routine?
They're used for pets the same exact way they're used for people. Three ways: aromatically, topically, and internally, to naturally balance the body's systems. So when you first bring these oils into your house, I would recommend that you not put 10 drops of something in your diffuser and fire it up, because your pet's going to be like, oh my God, that's intense. They have a robust sense of smell. They have like between 149 and 250 million olfactory receptors. And we only have like 6 million.
Right.
They can actually smell it when the bottle is cracked open a little bit. You can smell that. If you open it all the way and waft it under their nose, they're really going to smell it. But you don't really want to do that either. You would just hold it there and see if they want to come check it out for themselves. That's the best way to really introduce and get your pet to understand that there's going to be new smells in the house.
And then if you were to put it in a diffuser, you would allow the pet to kind of approach the bottle. And if they clearly don't like it, probably don't want to diffuse that oil. But let's say they don't mind it or they're interested in it. Would you start with one drop in the diffuser because their sense of smell is so strong?
I would start with one drop. I would fill the diffuser up only about a quarter of the way and then put in one drop. That way you get your diffuser time to run and that smell to loft into the air, and you'll go through it quicker. And that way you'll have a sense of what your pet likes and doesn't like. And you don't have this entire diffuser to go through to decide that. Just fill it up a little bit and get through it.
Great. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned topical use for pets. So give us some guidelines there.
Sure. So topical use for pets always needs some care and caution, because these oils are very strong, super potent. So you don't just take a drop and start dripping it on your pet and rubbing it in. You want to mix it with a carrier oil in your hand. So like 10 drops carrier oil, or 20, depending on how sensitive your pet is. And then one or two drops of essential oil. And it makes this super nice, silky, spa-like experience. And then you can rub it on them if you want to help maintain great skin and coat health. Or you could rub it on paw pads that get really chapped and cracked, or even the inside of ear flaps.
Do you have a favorite carrier oil you like to use with your pugs?
Depends on what I have around, but usually a fractionated coconut oil or some kind of a blend like that.
Perfect. And then the third way, you mentioned internal use. And I know that that can be a bit of a controversial topic. So I always like to caveat that with, if you're not comfortable using oils internally, if you're not comfortable giving it to your pets internally, that's fine. I'm comfortable with it. I know you are, Sherry. There's a lot of people who do it every day. So we are going to give some guidelines on that, but it's ultimately your choice if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to go there.
But considering Gus's like chronic issues, I decided, along with my holistic veterinarian, to move forward and do the internal usage of oils with Gus. So I just take the oil and I drip it into a veg capsule like this, and I top it off with a little carrier oil, and then I cup it with a glob of coconut oil and I toss it in his food, and he consumes it that way. But you guys got to remember, Gus is a pug, and pugs are not picky. They'll really eat anything.
Yeah.
You know, he can probably smell it, I'm sure, but he ingests it, and it's done wonders for him.
And what would be the point of putting it in a capsule versus just putting a drop on the food and mixing it in that way?
That would be really intense, because one drop has like 40 million trillion molecules of power. So that would be really intense for them, and you would probably create an aversion, and they might not want to eat their food.
Gotcha.
So capsule it to get it down. So it's like you're making your own pristine powerhouse supplement.
Well, thanks for that basic groundwork. I think that gives us some great knowledge base. Let's move on to just safety concerns a little bit. And I know someone's already asking about oil safety for cats as well. So let's cover that groundwork.
So for cats, they kind of have their own set of safety concerns. Like, they're notoriously specific animals. So if you're diffusing, you want to make sure you leave a way for them to get out of the room if they don't want to be near the diffuser. That's kind of the one-on-one with diffusing. And, you know, it's now becoming well known that they lack a liver enzyme that helps them process or detoxify oils that are high in phenols. So there is a little list of oils to avoid. You can find those on the internet, but they're not always reliable.
Yeah. I actually have a list here I can share if that's helpful for people, because this is such a common question. And even though I'm not a cat owner, I get that question a lot. So I've done a lot of research on here, and this is just what I have, you know, sort of taken as the guidelines that I'm comfortable sharing with people. There are some people on the internet who are a lot more conservative. They will give a very conservative approach to using essential oils with cats, or essentially say, don't ever use any oils around cats. I know so many hundreds, thousands of cat owners who use oils frequently around their cats, and they just follow these guidelines. First of all, always give the cat an exit opportunity. Never diffuse oils or put oils on a cat's fur if they don't have an option to go away from it. I think cats are pretty good at following their instincts when they feel that something's not good for their body. But then certain oils, and like clove, thyme, cassia, and oregano, are oils high in phenols, which can build up in a cat's system and cause toxicity if in abundance. So give your cat a break if you are using oils, any of those oils. Don't do it in excess, and allow your cat a break from those oils so that the cat can process those phenols out of their system, because they can do it. They just are slower at it than humans are. And then citrus oils like orange, lemon, tangerine, bergamot, and then pine, fir, and spruce oils have monoterpenes that can also build up to dangerous levels in cats as well. So again, just be aware of moderation, or avoid these oils altogether should you choose a more conservative approach. And if you want that list of oils, it's in my free essential oils quick start PDF ebook download that you can find on my homepage at samanthaleewright.com. So that's in there if you don't feel like you can jot those oils down yourself. So cat safety, I feel like we've covered. Is there any other safety tips that you would suggest for people?
A lot of reference guides out there mention using care and caution with oils, and that, of course, only quality pristine oils should be used around pets. So I want to dissect the term, you know, the phrase care and caution a little bit. It doesn't mean do not ever use those oils with your pets. It means use care and caution, which is dilution. I love to tell people the solution is dilution.
Right.
So for instance, there might be some great blends out there that contain some wintergreen. But yet wintergreen can be on a care and caution list. So that means don't omit wintergreen altogether. Just use that blend containing wintergreen, carry it with a carrier oil, and maybe put that on your dog's knees. That dog that goes running with you every day for 2 miles, put that on his knees and see if that changes the game for your dog. You'll be with the dog to observe, and you're using care and caution because you've diluted. So even though wintergreen can be a little iffy, that's how you can use it anyway, and decide for yourself, because not everybody's the same. All of us are different. All of our pets are different too. But the big controversy here with pets and essential oils, it really comes out of fear and the humans not fully understanding. And so I think if the humans got a little bit more confidence in themselves, they'd be okay.
I love that approach. That's great. Well, thank you for covering that. We've got about 10 more minutes before we open up the floor to Q&A for our Essential Oil Insider members. And I know that you have so much knowledge base when it comes to essential oils for pet anxiety and moods and overall emotional work with essential oils.
That's a great question. So over the years, I got all kinds of questions about how to help balance my pet's mood, you know, and when I had the store, I didn't really stock anything for that. But now that I'm in the oil world, like, it's great. You can open up any reference guide and check, you know, the emotional or the mood words, and you'll get lots of oils that you can use for your pets. So a few of the most commonly used ones are lavender, frankincense, cedarwood, vetiver, and patchouli. And those are great. You can just diffuse those maybe on an intermittent setting. If you're leaving the house or if you're going to be in and out of the house a lot and your pet's like going nuts because they have a little bit of separation anxiety, just try that and see if that works for you guys. Some people like to put a drop of oil in their pet's collar when they're leaving the house to stop the barking or the destructive behavior. But again, you got to make sure your pet likes that oil. I just talked about vetiver. Like, I know Gus likes vetiver and patchouli because anytime I get one and I open it and I'm going to put it in the diffuser, I let him smell it first and he'll get right up close to it with his flat face and his tongue. And nose, and he will sniff it really hard. and then he'll try to lick it. That's how I know he likes it.
Yeah.
But guess what? Lavender, he does not like lavender.
Okay.
He smells his face up at lavender. So I just don't use that around him at all. So real emotional work for animals can be a challenge, especially if they've been traumatized. And you know, for anybody dealing with that, you might want to consider consulting with an animal behaviorist, maybe an animal communicator, because you'll learn a ton about yourself and your pets if you do that. And that's maybe where you can get better emotional work done rather than just trying to wing the oils yourself.
Yeah. I have heard so many success stories of, I know a friend who's a pet walker and a pet sitter. So she's around a lot of stranger pets, right? Pets she's never worked with before. And so she'll carry around a very like calming blend of peace and calming and kind of carry that around with her. And she's noticed that that's really helped her get to befriend pets pretty quickly who might have a little bit of anxiety and things like that. But I think, again, it's a great reminder that every pet is different. And yeah, not all pets are going to respond to the same oils in the same way. And learning to observe your pet is always so important. And in observing yourself, I give the same advice when you're using oils on humans is observe, observe, observe. How does your body react? Yeah.
In this world, people's stories about how they've successfully used oils with pets can really help give other pet people confidence. And that's really one of my main missions here. So I'd like to tell you two quick stories about both my pugs and how the oils have affected them over the years. So first is Bobby, our pug Bobby. In January of this year, we discovered that Bobby has severe hydrocephalus. And that is excess fluid on the brain that wears away at the brain tissue. And he only has 20% of his brain left.
Aww.
And after researching hydrocephalus on PubMed, at its core, hydrocephalus is cerebral spinal fluid buildup in the brain. So to support the healthy circulation, I massage him, his spine up and down with cypress oil, with a carrier oil, and I diffuse cypress often. And what's super interesting here, though, is that most dogs are born with hydrocephalus and they don't live past 2 years old with it. But Bobby's 12 years old.
Wow.
And our vet said it's remarkable that he's lived this long. And she firmly believes that it's due to his lifestyle and that I should keep doing what I'm doing.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
Bobby. Yay. And then Gus is almost 13 and he has a weakened immune system, which resulted in food allergies that I mentioned earlier. He also has allergies to random bug bites and he gets frequent ear infections and skin issues, including the growth of this nubby on the left side of his head. That's what I call it, the nubby. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've been battling nubby for 7 years. And occasionally, nubby would erupt on its own. It would bleed and scab over. And I would put oils on it like frankincense and leadum. And then I made a combo of frankincense, lavender, and lemon. And I put that in there as well. But I realized that topical application of the oils didn't seem to help Gus very much. And after consulting with my holistic vet, this is when we decided that Gus would get the oils internally. So I put the carrier oil in the capsule with the essential oil drops and coat the outside with a blob of coconut oil. And this was really perfect for Gus because it was clearly superior to any of the supplements that I sold in my pet store years ago. And I got to tell you, I got the confidence to do this because I had read this statement by a holistic vet and it went like this. She said, Frankincense is commonly given orally in quite high doses in particular situations. Usually, limits on the amount of franc given are placed due to budget constraints and not due to giving too much. Dogs have consumed extremely high amounts of franc, 60 plus drops a day with no ill effects.
Whoa. Wow.
That was fascinating. And
but 60 so I started drops of franc, that'll hurt your wallet for sure.
Yes. So I started with a small amount and I worked my way up, and then my budget did get strained. So I did some reading and decided to rotational oil. Like I was rotational feeding, I decided to rotational oil, and I switched to lemon and orange oils because those are like $11 a bottle versus right. 85. And they actually seem to work even better for
wow.
dogs.
Wow.
But since citrus oils can get a bad rap for maybe overwhelming the liver, I got to tell you, this 15-pound pug has been ingesting citrus oils, pristine citrus oils, for several years, and he has perfect blood work.
Yay!
I printed it off from the vet clinic. It was perfect blood work. It is the ALTSGPT liver value, and it's perfectly normal. And it's clear that his immune system responds really well to this method. And I wrote a blog post last week about breakthrough that Gus's immune system had recently, and it's about the nubby. So the post is called Gus's Mystery Skin Nubby Through the Years.
Nice.
Go check it out and celebrate with us.
Yes. And your website is cleanpetrevolution.com. Is that where your blog
yes.
is? Correct. Okay, great. Yes. So all the pet lovers can go find lots of great stories and blog posts there, I'm sure.
Thanks so much for checking out our show today. You can learn more about our Essential Oil Insiders membership by going to revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders. Stay tuned next week. We'll be talking with Kelly Oster about her experience of helping her father through Alzheimer's and how essential oils have been linked to brain health. That's next week here on the Essential Oil Revolution. Make sure you are subscribed. And while you're at it, rate and review our podcast. Thanks so much. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.